Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Dan Ross. Thank you so much for joining us again. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we rejoice in your gift of salvation and all of the grace that you have poured into our life up to this point, all the grace that you have in store for us. We ask, O Lord, especially for that healing grace to touch upon those areas in our lives where we need your healing touch. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Dan, we were talking about your time as a counselor, guidance counselor down in Scioto County. And I think just kind of following the arc of your career kind of helps us, kind of structure this conversation. But so after that, your stint at counseling, what happened?
Well, the end of my third year of being a guidance counselor, my youngest brother, Pat, had just finished his master's degree and was trying to get a job in counseling. Well, he was had an interview at Delaware County JVS to be a counselor. And at the time, he was working during the summer for a company called Didier Taylor. They're a German company that does ceramic engineering. And he had to sign a contract at the beginning of that summer because they used educators a lot of times to come in during the summer to work to fill in for people on vacations. So when you signed your contract, you had to stay for the summer because they're going to schedule vacations in that period of time, and they had to have somebody fill that out. And there were repercussions if you left early because you're going to be leaving them holding the bag. So I had 2 weeks vacation. It comes, and my brother asked, he said, hey, I had this interview, and I got this job in Delaware, but I have to start August 1st. And it's 2 weeks before the end of his contract. So he said, hey, can you take my job for me this last 2 weeks? Can you use your vacation to do this for me? I did. That's what a brother does. That's what your family does. And so at the end of the 2 weeks, and it was a great experience. I didn't know anything about ceramics, but I do know about dealing with people and working with people. So at the end of the 2 weeks, they offered me a job, and I told them I really wasn't interested in that job because I said I have the greatest job in the world, and this is probably the mercenary part, is that my wife and I were trying to buy a house, and your salary when you're beginning as a teacher is, especially back then, was minuscule, and so we would have had to save up an awful lot of more years before we would ever be able to buy our house, and she was pregnant with our second child. And so I went back to my superintendent, and they offered me a lot of money, a lot more than what I was making, and we would have been able to buy a house. So I went back to my superintendent, and he said, you can't do that. You're the only one who knows all the kids. And I said, well, I'm trying to. I said, Tom, it was Tom Schulte, Brigadier General Tom Schulte, was my superintendent. And I said, Tom, we're trying to buy a house, and Chris is pregnant with our second child. So he said, okay, but you got to stay 6 weeks until we get somebody that can come in here because you're the only one who knows the kids. Mm. So I would get up in the morning and I went to work at school. And then after school, I drove to South Shore, Kentucky to the plant there. And then I worked till midnight. So I had 6 wonderful weeks of that. But with that, it was probably, I was given a division that wasn't doing really well. And I went and I didn't know anything about ceramics, but I do know how to get people to work and enjoy working maybe. And so I took a yellow tablet and I went around and met with all 86 people who were my people and said, okay, what's holding you back from being the absolute very best at what you do? whether it's a mix operator, a quality control engineer, a ceramic engineer that was working on certain mixes that and mediums that they use. And so then I put the plan together. And when they met with me about, this was probably 6 weeks or 8 weeks after I was in there. And they said, okay, do it. So we ended up being really successful at the end of the year. But I think one of the things that probably helped me the most was that once they found out I was a school person, there's all these parents that I realized that there are nights that dog eats the homework. Mm. You know, that the school's doing this to my kid. My kid's doing this in school. The teacher did this. My kid's running into these kind of situations at school. What do? I should have just put a shingle on my office because I had lines of people that were parents with problems. They wanted to talk. And I think for me, as coming then afterwards, being a principal and school superintendent for 25 years, the next 25 years after I left, was probably one of the most helpful things in the world, because it gives you an unbelievably completely different perspective of what a child's life is like and what mom and dad are really thinking at home and what mom and dad are thinking about what the school's doing and what the principal's doing and what the teachers are doing. And so it just absolutely opened a door for me that I would have never had the opportunity. And I didn't really ever want to do that job. But I think the good Lord gave it to him, because it absolutely made a complete total difference in how I was an administrator for a school. So the principalship at Portsmouth Notre Dame came open during the, I'd been there just a little over a year. And the principalship came open, and people that were working with me turned my name in. I didn't go apply. They turned my name in to do this. So I started getting these feelers about, would you be interested in doing this? And I did have my principal certificate, and I had my superintendent certificate. And so I went over and interviewed. You'd probably find this extremely fulfilling in the fact that there was 21 people on the school board. Yeah, and every one of them was to bring somebody to the interview. And the parish pastor from Holy Redeemer and St. Mary's were there. So there was 44 people in the interview. And I had a straight back chair and a little table next to me with a glass of water.
That's not an interview. That's a congressional hearing.
I was going to say, thought it was the Spanish Inquisition. But we started about 10 o'clock. We ended at 5 till 10. And a day or so later, they called me and said, hey, we would like for you to be the principal. And so I turned my notice in at Didier Taylor, and they were not happy with me. But I had a great experience with them, and I know I could do well with them, but it wasn't where my heart was. I wanted to be back with kids, although I didn't make the effort to do that. That door opened, and it opened, I think the good Lord opened that door, because it was like, that's kind of out of the clear blue sky. That was not on my plan. It wasn't something I said, oh, this is something I'd really like to go do. Like, I don't think there's any job that I've ever had that I've ever said, this is something I want to go do. It was like, it just happened. It just opened up. And so when that does, you go through and you give it everything that you possibly have, because you feel like you've been given a gift to be there.
And, you know, that I think a really good takeaway from this too, which is, it's in all of our lives, is sometimes the Lord invites us to step back from what we're supposed to do and what he's calling us to do. One, so that we really know that it's what we're supposed to do and our heart's really in it. And we're hungry, you know, distance makes the heart go, you know, grow fonder or something like that, you know. I think the other perspective, which is it gives us a new perspective. And like that gift of being able to see it from the perspective of the parents and the issues, how they see education. I mean, that's so key, because I think in Catholic social teaching, we say that the parents are the primary educators of our children. And I think regardless of whether it's the Catholic school system or the public school system, or, you know, we even think like in the government level, we can forget that, you know? And I think we even see that, like, say, in parish catechesis. You know, we forget that the parents are the primary educators. We're there to help them to be the best parents they can be. And to have that valuable perspective, I think, is... It's, I mean, I think it goes to how, you know, the Lord was preparing you for the rest of your
I believe that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
Because there was no way in the world I would have ever, and if it wasn't for the 2-week spot you needed to fill, that door open and it opened like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was amazing. I can't even enumerate all the lessons that I learned from the people I work with. I learned more from them than they ever learned from me.
Yeah. Now, how long were you at Portsmouth Notre Dame?
3 years.
3 years.
At the end of the third year, I applied to go back to finish my PhD. I started at the University of Tennessee and was there for the first grading period, and they changed the focus of their program. Mm. Their program focus had been more of a practical PhD. I didn't want to write textbooks. That was not something I wanted to do. I wanted to get better at what I was going to be doing, working with schools and kids. And the program that I was in at the University of Tennessee did that. At the end of the first session that we were there, they changed that focus. And the focus was they brought somebody in to the chair of the department. It was a textbook person.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Dan Ross. And until next time, peace and all good.